What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Besties Show here on the Razzball YouTube channel. Thank you, as always, to Razzball for hosting us on the YouTube channel. Definitely check out the audio of the show over on Razzball.com and go to that YouTube channel, Razzball YouTube. Subscribe so that you get the alert every Monday when we're on. You can check out the Live Start Sit Show every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. over there on the Razzball channel. And you always come back to see us. And I realize, guys, and Luke, we might need to make an adjustment here because we need a little bit of a longer intro because I can't even tweet out the link in the time it takes for us to, like, play the song. And then here we are, and now I got to start talking. So this is where I introduce myself.
Just do what Linda does the whole time and tweet during the show.
But I can't do that while I talk. I mean, I'm not JL where I can kind of multitask and listen to music while I do a show. So.
Luke, can you do, with your graphical expertise, can you do like a Full House style intro for all of us? That should cover like at least a minute.
Make it 5 minutes. Make it 10.
Let's do the entire show is just an intro to the show.
And that then would be a great
say, hit. Have a great night and log out.
And just pop in and be like, that was the show.
It'd be like Scampers is just going, where's the show?
We already complain that we don't have enough time to get to all of our topics because we just have so much fun talking. And now we want to do a whole intro for 5 minutes. But our regular intro is, this is the Fantasy Bestie Show. I'm JB Barry at Fantasy Coach JB. With me, as always, the number one Josh Jacobs fan, Kevin Tompkins. We got Lynn Dellions. We got Andrew Cooper. And we got Jordan Loop. I wanted you to see this shirt because check this out, right? So it says Yak and then it says Straight Out of Contact. And I thought it was a dope shirt and that's what caught my eye. So one of my friends has a website, firstoverall101.com, and he makes fantasy football related shirts. So I got this one. I got one that says Air Yards. It's kind of like with the Air Jordan type of symbol. He has ones where there's like two people, like duos for each team. So I got like a Mike Evans, Chris Godwin shirt. I got a Tyreek Jalen Waddle shirt. Like he's got some dope shirts over there. So check out firstoverall101.com. Linda.
Do they have big hats?
They don't have really big hats, but he should work on that.
And for that reason, I'm out.
But they have dope shirts. So check
Keep
out
the Full House intro. Let's go. Let's
Do they have like a Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker pairing shirt?
They might. I don't know. No, I think they actually have a Ramondre and somebody. Maybe a Ramondre and Myers. They do have a Patriots
one. It's got to be a Ramondre and Damian Harris. I don't know. There's not really a lot of good pairings on the Patriots.
Well, Jacoby Myers would be the guy who's
What about the Jordan Love Hall of Fame jacket pairing?
That's coming next year, 2023, new launch.
Okay.
So I mean there were some cool things we saw yesterday. The big hat was one of them. Jordan Love looking pretty good was another one of them. So I mean I don't know if we're gonna go big hat or not, Linda, but what was the favorite thing that you saw this week for your first down?
It was the big hat.
But football related, it was just really good to see Justin Herbert lead a game-winning drive, to see two teams go for it for 2 points to just like win the game. Like I love that shit. Made me nervous. I'm like not a fan of either team and I'm like on the edge of my seat. So that's why football is fantastic. Plus Piper watched with me for like 2 hours yesterday, which is a new record.
Nice. Nice. Was she interested in the game or she just wanted to hang with mom?
Who's playing now? Who's on the TV right now? I'm like, this is all the games we're watching Red Zone. Right. But who's on there right now?
Awesome.
I like the Seagulls. Okay.
too bad the Seagulls lost, though. I hope she wasn't still around for that. She would have been heartbroken. That wouldn't have been bad. That would have been bad. Coop, what was the favorite thing that you saw?
I'll tell you, and this comes from your neck of the woods, JB. If anyone looks behind JB or knows JB even for 15 minutes, they would know that he is a monster Buccaneers fan. And I personally am a monster Chris Godwin fan. Liked him coming out of school, drafted him in a lot of dino leagues. Love that, you know, the respect he had for Tom Brady giving up the jersey. Love that his charity is legit to give, to donate money to dogs, like dog shelters, based on how many catches he gets, and he catches a million balls. So it's good to see him get back out there and have one of the classic, there it is right there. But though that's a new Godwin. He used to be number 12. gave his number to Tom Brady out of respect, which I have a lot of respect for Tom Brady, as we all do. We all do, Linda. And he was the number two wide receiver on the week. I love seeing him have a classic high target game, 100-yard game. He's just a good dude, man.
And he looks healthy again, Coop. Like, he looks like people don't realize coming into this season, like, he was still banged up. He was still recovering. So when he had a slow start to the season and then he got kind of tweaked the injury and he was injured again on and off the field, like, he has not been playing 100%. He went into the bye week starting to look 100%, came out of the bye week looking 100%. So you're absolutely right.
And just know that if you disagree with me right now, that every pass that this guy catches, money goes to dogs in need. So first of all, how dare you?
Yeah, and, who doesn't love dogs? I mean, right. If you don't like Chris Godwin, you don't like dogs. Like,
true. That's a fact. Or cats.
Yeah, well, Kev loves cats. Kev's cat's getting big.
That is a true fact. Speaking of, that was a perfect segue because you didn't know who I was going to choose outside of Big Hat, Brian Robinson. But
was it a cat?
It has to do with a player that plays on a team with a cat. So,
boom.
Once this happens, probably once every 76 years, it seems like, but DJ Moore caught a touchdown from, and stay with me, the best quarterback DJ Moore has ever played with in Sam Darnold.
No, I mean, Peach Walker, dude. Come on.
Well, Peach. You know what? When he catches a touchdown from Peach, he can be the greatest quarterback that DJ Moore has ever played.
Fair.
But that's for fair. Right now, given our recency bias and our short attention spans, we have to celebrate what we have when we have it. Sam Darnold is the greatest quarterback DJ Moore has ever played with.
You think he's unlocked, Kev? Because, I mean, that's a guy who was
well. No. I have DJ Moore in almost every single league. I'm still not starting him just because it is so boom or bust with him. But it is nice to see that he is alive every 5-6 weeks.
But is it boom or bust? Because his track record with Darnold is that he actually does score fantasy relevant points to be someone you can kind of put in a wide receiver 3 flex type of role in your lineup. I mean, going back to last year, he produced decently well with Darnold. So, I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit more confident now putting him in my lineup than I was before he had Darnold.
I mean, it's hard to really have confidence when this offense is just a complete tire fire. You know, at least before they had Christian McCaffrey, where you had to pay attention to a guy like that, and now they're running out. Deonta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard and all these other guys. Like, it is just, I understand the DJ. I mean, DJ Moore has this so much talent, and if you're on any other team, he'd be pretty much locked in starter, I think, outside of like maybe Houston. But it is just so difficult to click DJ Moore in your lineup, just knowing that you can either get 4 for 103 and a touchdown, or you can get 6 for 30, and that's, you can't do it.
Yeah. Daddy's home checking in.
He was just the worst, bro. Just the worst. I'm rocking Boston and everything, bro. Come on.
He's like a professional Coop troll. I absolutely love it. I love every second of it.
He's very efficient too. Just pops in. He probably already left the stream. He's probably not even still here, dude. Just pops in, drops daggers, dude. Heads out. That's Mike, man. He is, dude. He is the Boston mascot. I know the Jaguars mascot was wearing the thong this week, dude. If there was a Boston mascot in a thong, that's Mike.
It would be Mike.
That's how good
I forgot about that. That's my big thing now.
Like, that's how good the big hat was, is that it's the only outfit I've thought about. And one mascot wore American flag Speedo. And I haven't thought about it. This is the second time.
Scott Hansen was fixated on that, by the way.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah. So he was, yeah. He was rattled, dude.
I mean, I know he went to Syracuse and he's not used to people wearing thongs ever. But, like, yeah.
Well, I'll stick with the cat theme then and stick with the Jaguars, because that was my favorite thing that I saw, was seeing Trevor Lawrence actually come through in that final drive of the game and not make the mistake to end the game. We've seen it so many times where he's had the chance to step up and drive them down the field and win the game or tie the game or bring them to this comeback in the final drive of the game, and he'll throw an interception. Or he'll get pressured and he'll fumble, or he'll make a mistake and he'll just, you know, turn over on downs. This time, he actually came through. Not only did he throw the touchdown that set them up to win the game, but then he hit a perfect throw on that two-point conversion as well. So to see Trevor take that step forward, that was super encouraging. I really like to see that, and to see them actually give him that ability to do that. I mean, look, they were going to go for it, right? So, like, they got nothing to lose. And to see him be able to do it this time and not choke under pressure, that was the favorite thing that I saw.
And he learned from last time to not come out and say, you can't deny it, we're a really good team. Because last time he did that, they lost like five games in a row. So this time he was like, yeah.
Did you see the interview? This is going to be a really good segue to Loop, who knows who defensive players are. But I think it was a safety Jaguars that was like, he had to play for Urban Meyer last year. Like, he barely had a rookie season. You're like, God. Then he was like, I would die for Doug Peterson. You're like, whoa. He's so fast.
Loop, who was that, Loop? Who said that?
Was that my boy Cisco?
I don't know. He was white with long hair.
Not him.
Oh, then that's not Cisco.
Andrew Wingard. Yep.
Yeah. Wingard famous from every clip where Jonnu Smith ever scored a touchdown.
Our generation's Daniel Sorensen.
Oh, man. I was hoping it was Cisco because that would have been a segue from the thong also, but hey.
Q's guy thong. I mean, it's all just coming full circle.
Coop, you missed out. I saw Cisco perform at Foxwoods this past week.
Wait, Cisco was there?
Yeah,
dude. I couldn't make it. There was zero chance. I totally forgot that. To be honest, I didn't know that I was scheduled to do shows on both Thanksgiving morning at 7 a.m. and Black Friday 7 a.m. Go back and watch that Black Friday show if you want to see a literal corpse person attempt to talk about fantasy football.
Because like Blackout Friday.
The Patriots, not only was it Thanksgiving the day before, but the Patriots for the night game. Yep. Me and my dad were up like an hour after the game being like, how about them refs?
Shout out, Mr. Cooper.
Luke, he came on the show the next morning, by the way. My dad made his podcast debut the next morning, his live stream debut, wearing a Lenoir Rhine shirt.
Oh, God.
Which is the school that Kyle Duggar went to, dude. Nice. Mods, please remove Troy from the chat. We can't have that. We can't have that right now.
No, Troy was just helping the segue to Loop with that fins up.
All right, fine. Mods, leave him.
Perfect timing.
Mods, leave him, but give him one strike. Mike has two strikes already. Scampers, you're an angel.
Never any strikes for Scampers. Loop, what about you? What was the favorite thing you saw?
Yeah, I mean, I really was going to leave the Dolphins out of this, but you guys took every other thing that I would have talked about, and you left me for last. So the Dolphins, Tua remains undefeated, just absolutely dismantled the Texans. Doesn't even play in the fourth quarter. So they're just rolling right now. But I will say, aside from the Dolphins, just to follow up on your Trevor Lawrence point, what a day for the top two quarterbacks from last year's draft. You have Trevor Lawrence leading the game winning drive comeback over the Ravens, and then you have Zach Wilson inactive, not even dressed out, just standing over there in a hoodie. So very different day for those two guys. So as a Dolphins fan, you love to see the Jets just cycling through every quarterback that they can possibly find. So we'll see how long the Mike White experiment lasts, but yeah, fun day.
And that was one of the big storylines going into the week, Loop, was that whole Jets situation. And then, you know, obviously they were playing a new quarterback. They were playing against a backup quarterback that was almost a third string quarterback with an oblique issue in the pregame. So we didn't know what we were going to see in that game. And now with Mike White actually playing well, we don't know what we're going to see moving forward. I mean, you know, Robert Saleh came out and said when he was benching Zach Wilson, like, hey, this isn't the end of his story here. This is not the end of his time as a Jet. But then Mike White came out, looked good.
Against the Bears, bro. He looked good against the Bears.
I know.
I get it. But I think we did this less than a year ago. We were like, Mike White's the guy. And by like weeks of Mike White, we're like, maybe he's not the guy. Like,
no, I'm just saying, right.
Temper expectations.
You're absolutely right. And I was never on that bandwagon. But what happens now? What do you do if you're the coach, Coop?
I'm just saying, I look at this week and it's like, you know, Mac Jones with the 382 passing yards, Mike White with 315, Tua under 300, you know, Josh Allen way down there. Have we seen a flip in the division where, you know, the Patriots, that's as far as I could go. That's as far as I could go while being even remotely honest. I do like that. Well, Robert Saleh, incredibly impressive turnaround on this defense from a 3-4, a couple, like literally changing it from a 3-4 to a 4-3 is insane this quickly and having them be a good team. But do I think Mike White is the answer? I think if anything, we've just proven via Mike White and Joe Flacco that that the Mormon rich spoiled child is not the guy. So I don't know. I still think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback from this class. Do you think he's easily the best quarterback from this class that looks like a like middle school horse girl?
He looks like those Easter Island stats.
He really does. He truly does. But I mean, who's the best quarterback from this class? Justin Fields.
He's probably Lawrence is probably the best real life NFL quarterback. When you're separating it from NFL and fantasy, then you got to throw it on Fields.
But, then it's got to be Fields. Yeah. But real life, I mean, it's like, it's probably not Mac Jones. Definitely not Zach Wilson. Could be Trey Lance. We haven't seen enough Trey Lance, right?
We don't have enough sample size on him.
Right.
As of right now, I have to say Trevor Lawrence is probably the best quarterback from class. At this moment,
I would agree. But for fantasy's sake, then you got to throw Fields and those mobile quarterbacks in the conversation. But yeah, if I'm starting an NFL team right now, I want Trevor from that class. Absolutely. Absolutely. Kev, what do you do if you're the Jets, though, right now? Because, like, I agree, Linda, Coop, like, Mike White is not the answer. Like, he's not the savior, but he looked better in one game than Zach Wilson. Now, granted, it was against the Bears, but you already said this isn't the end for Zach Wilson, but you want to win. You have a team with playoff aspirations that could legitimately make the playoffs. So do you go back to Zach Wilson and you know, trust that he gets better and learned his lesson? Or do you stick with the guy who got it done yesterday? What do you do, Kev?
Look, Elijah Moore pretty much summed it up perfectly about like him apparently coming out of the locker room saying, I'm free. Elijah Moore is free. Mike White clearly has the respect of the Garrett Wilsons and the Zach, you know, in Elijah Moore's and all these guys. Like, I think the spark that he provides, I think you've got to kind of roll with it. Like, if you go back to Zach Wilson, I understand the whole, we invested a number two pick on him, but if he's the guy, if Mike White can win you games and look competent at the quarterback position, unlike Zach Wilson, I think you got to give him a shot. Like, they got Minnesota coming up, which I think that's a secondary that can at least be thrown on, and they'll always be in games with their defense. But then they have Buffalo, and if Mike White can stay in that job as the starting quarterback, Detroit, Jacksonville at Seattle is their fantasy playoff schedule. Like, if Mike White is still there and is still starting, there are going to be real questions about, can we start Mike White in our fantasy playoffs with how bad some of these quarterbacks have been, possibly Aaron Rodgers, not with his now oblique injury added to a broken thumb, as bad as Russell Wilson has been, if Justin Fields is banged up. Like, there are serious questions about quarterbacks to be able to start in fantasy. And Mike White might be like our generation's Billy Volek is in terms of a quarterback that you can just plug in and he might get you there. It's wild. But I think it's hard to say what with real life implications on quarterbacking and draft picks and all that, but like, I don't know how you go away from Mike White seeing he played in front of the home crowd, clearly got him, you know, jazzed up. He's got his weapons jazzed up too. Garrett Wilson was a stud yesterday. Elijah Moore caught a touchdown as well. I don't know how you go back.
Luke, what do you do?
I think they'll stick with Mike White as long as they keep winning, and then when they lose, they'll go back to Zach.
We are here for the white propaganda.
I think
I say
of Taylor Heineke. like what's happening in Washington right now when you paid a ton of money for a quarterback. And then obviously Carson Wentz got hurt, and that's why Taylor Heinicke got the nod. But once Carson Wentz came back, there was the way that Warren talks about Heinicke, he clearly has respect for him and enjoys him as his quarterback. There's just no reason to bench him when you're getting it done. And I think they've lost, what, one game on the back of Heinicke? And it's certainly not Heinicke throwing for 400 yards and three touchdowns every game. Like, he's doing the bare minimum, but he's not costing them games, which Carson Wentz, I think, could have the tendency to do.
Yep.
So that's it's very much the same shade for me. The
Jets. I mean, I tend to try and be like as rational as possible with this stuff. So I say let the New York Post decide.
Like what was the back page headline, by the way, JB, since you're in the area? Was it the Great White Hope? Because
it's usually something ridiculous.
I don't know, but you should have told me earlier. I would have gotten
I put it in the group chat yesterday.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Well, Kevin Valentine made a point that Mike White was fine last year, too, and now they just have a defense. So to your point, Linda, if he's managing the game enough, and he did more than manage the game yesterday, but if he manages the game enough to not lose the game and let the defense help win the game, then that might be a winning formula for them. So, I mean, yeah, that absolutely. Might be the right
I'm
thing.
Just saying, I don't think he's like a long-term answer. I think he's fine. I don't think Zach Wilson's it, yeah. Which sucks to admit because I was very like it to work. I always want it to work when everybody hates a guy. Like, I become the de facto apologist. That's just what happens. But it didn't work.
Zach Wilson could still be it. We say that he's not it. Like, he could still be it. It's like people were like, oh, we want Gardner Minshew as the quarterback instead of Jalen Hurts, like, because he threw a couple touchdowns to Dallas Goedter. Like,
the skills and wears really short shorts,
yeah, which is awesome.
That's why people like Gardner Minshew.
Which everyone agrees is awesome. Like, obviously, but Zach Wilson, he has a skill set that Mike White doesn't have. People dog on him for scrambling around, extending plays. That's a positive attribute, right? He's got to get better at not taking crazy sacks or throwing picks at the end of those plays. But that's a positive attribute that a lot of guys don't have, which is a good thing in this league if you can corral it, right? Certain guys like Tony Romo just turned it into getting hurt when they played. But like, you know, but the thing is like, I think this guy has the skill set. He's got to become a little more mature. The thing is, we didn't all hate him this much until he said no the other day. He said the words no. He said one word. I said the words. He said the word no, and we all hated him. Only half the people hated him before that. Me, I didn't even hate him. He's a Jet, so obviously I can't like him, dude. I'm rooting for him to do poorly. But I think that he could still be a guy in this league. You know,
I think I would have just liked to see him care more, Coop. Like, I would have liked to see him, like, more into the game on the sideline instead of sitting there with the pouty face on, with the hood on in the rain, looking all angry.
He's very
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, dude.
Every high five when they score. You know, every celebrate a big play. Like, he just looked like he didn't care. He was just there.
Every single dude in Boston wanted J.D. Drew to care more, but then he hit a grand slam in the World Series, and everybody loved him. So at a certain point, dude, you know what I mean? David Price, we won the World Series. Like, at a certain point, caring goes out the window. I just care if you are good at football. So, you know, it's awesome, dude. Prayer circles, the whole deal. Great. I clapped for Jacoby Brissett. I love Jacoby Brissett, right? When he walked off the field, Deshaun Watson's better at football. So, there you go.
To be fair, J.D. Drew was the second best player in his own family at baseball, so it was good for him to get that.
Stephen Drew is not better than J.D. Drew, dude. This is not going to be a baseball show, but that's absolutely not true.
Stephen Drew is better than J.D.
That's absolutely not true. J.D. Drew had one of the purest swings, but you're right. He did not care, and that's what upset people. But
yep.
But why Pierre.
Can't?
Well, I was just going to say, why can't Mike White be like late stage Ryan Fitzpatrick? Like, the luster eventually wears off. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick had that, you know, gets a 3-4 game kind of sample. Maybe he starts throwing picks at the end of that, and then we kind of forget about it. And then Mike White comes in if someone gets, whoever the quarterback is for the Jets gets hurt, or Mike White goes somewhere else, gets a 3-4 game split, same thing. He can go to like 14 teams in his NFL career and be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's it. But he can't be that because Taylor Heinicke already called dibs.
Well, Pierre said Zach Wilson car, feels like a future Panther, and I like that one. Zach Wilson definitely feels like a future Panther. He would fit in good with that group there. And yes, Pierre, somebody sleeping in my bed, Drew Hill. I saw Boys to Men Drew Hill in 112 on Friday, and it was awesome.
We do. Wait, 112 was there too?
Yeah, dude, it was 112 Drew Hill and Boys to Men. It was amazing. It was like three of my favorite groups of all time. And it, I mean, they still sounded good too. I mean,
did they do Peaches and Cream?
Of course they did.
Oh my God. Did they do?
We're going to get to injuries.
I see you looking at me. I can tell by your eyes that you're feeling me. And he really wants you to get close to me. So would you dance with me?
Put up the trade question, Lou. Kevin wants to know who to target for the fantasy playoffs in a trade. Hopkins, Hollywood, Mike Will, JT, Coop's still dancing. Oh, and Coop's getting a shout out here from Kevin too. Who would you target for the fantasy playoffs? I mean, if you're looking at this group of guys, I mean, you're looking at D-Hop as the wide receiver or JT as the running back, right? I mean, I would take D-Hop over Hollywood or Mike Williams, so... Would you target D-Hop or JT? I guess it would depend on your team's needs, right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, obviously, if you get John Diller, do that, dude. But if I was going to go for one of those guys, it'd be DeAndre Hopkins. That guy, he's just proven that he is the man. Like, is he not? Like, he's just so – DeAndre Hopkins is – he's generational level. I'll say it, man. Even if, you know, he shot his way out of Houston, who cares? This guy can snatch the football, dude. And there's no substitution for that. And he gets away with pushing off, which is the second most valuable trait for a wide receiver, right? Catching the football is number one. Getting away with pushing off is number two.
Yep.
I would be more in on Hopkins if he didn't block me on Twitter. So
did he?
Yeah. I sent him a pizza emoji and then he blocked me.
Ah, hate when that.
No, happens. No. Sorry, that was Richard Sherman. I actually posted a dynasty startup, like, you know, people do the Twitter threads and stuff like that. And I said, I think it was like 2019, and I said I drafted like D-Hop of like the end of the first round, and then dude legit blocked me.
How many NFL players do you block by?
I know for sure Richard Sherman and D-Hop. Actually, it might be Khalil Mack too, but I blocked him first.
I'm trying to think.
They can't. I think I'm blocked by him. Too reasonable.
I don't really respond to anybody on Twitter. I just send my own tweets on my own timeline. Sometimes I retweet you guys.
Because you're a nice guy. John McGlynn's a nice guy, and he said a trade just happened in one of his Dynasty Superflex home leagues. Tom Brady for Sam Darnold and Paris Campbell, and wants to know our thoughts. I mean, it's a Dynasty Superflex, so you figure both of these guys are in the Superflex conversation. You're getting another piece in Paris Campbell for the downgraded quarterback. I mean, I want the Brady side of it, but hey, if this person needs a wide receiver to start, think about it. There's still buys next week and in week 14. So if he needs a startable wide receiver to put in to fill in for a buy, then I don't hate the trade, and it's not something that I would think is collusion. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, next year, one dude's going to have Paris Campbell. That's the result of the trade.
Yeah, I was going to say, much. Both of those quarterbacks could potentially
the waiver wire can year. Have Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and if you're looking at it from a dynasty standpoint, I mean, I don't know that any of this really impacts dynasty value. None of these guys are long-term guys, except for maybe Paris Campbell. So, you know, you're taking a stab on a guy who's stepping up this year, finally looking healthy. I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate the deal, John. It's good for both teams. George Cook got raw-dogged by Miles Sanders last night, and he lost his 30-point lead. Now he's only up one, and his opponent has Pittman. What defense does he play tonight?
The Colts defense, bro. The Colts defense.
All day long.
See, Kenny Pickett's throwing one touchdown in the last three games.
I was thinking, like, what defense does he play against Pittman? Like, I didn't read that as he had a defensive option. Like, I was going to tell him to, like, try to, you know.
Can he hack into his opponent's lineup?
Yeah, exactly.
He DDoS him and, like, scramble his lineup?
Respectfully to George Cook, I need Michael Pittman to score 44 points, give or take a few. And then I can win this important league, so.
I don't think that's going to work.
I think George has a better chance than you, Linda.
If Josh Jacobs can do it, anyone can do it. I have Mike.
The reason I need to do it.
I have Michael Pittman over 66 yards as part of one of my three picks for tomorrow for the Front Yard Fantasy Show. And the loser has to do an impression. And I hate doing that stupid Front Yard Fantasy. Though I don't get to pick, though. The chat picks. Last time they picked Scooby-Doo. Bro. So, like, this is what I'm saying. I need that more than anything. I care about not more than any of my fantasy leagues and more than even, like, success in this industry. I care about not doing impressions on that show because I don't like being embarrassed. I'll tell you that right now.
We never root for injuries, George. Root for explosive diarrhea, never an injury. Smart.
Damn, Joey's blocked by Hulk Hogan. That sucks, Joey, because you're a wrestling guy, dude. That's gotta hurt. You gotta reach out to his people.
So we talked about Zach Wilson, Mike White. Kev, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers a little earlier. Jordan Love looked good coming in. They said today that as long as Rodgers is healthy, he'll be back and starting. So I don't think we have a controversy there. I mean, briefly, if you want to talk about, you know, what your thoughts were on Jordan Love and if he's ready to be the heir apparent from what you saw yesterday, we'll let you touch on that one. And then we'll just hit the last one before we talk about some league winners.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see Jordan Love with a full game plan and, you know, with defense that knows he's coming versus jumping in there and, you know, the defense is already playing back on him with Green Bay down two scores. I mean, that Watson play was like really good play design and everything. The defense was already playing like 9 yards off of him with Watson in the slot. And then he just took a crosser and used his speed to blow by everybody else. Like, it was a great play, but I mean, I'm not going to fit him for a gold jacket based on, like, was he 6 for 9 for whatever in a touchdown? Like, I'm not going to say he's the next coming of Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre or anybody, but I just want to see him. Look, Green Bay has a decision to make whether they're going to give him a fifth-year option or not. That's going to be $19, $20 million, and he's basically sight unseen at this point. He has one legitimate start against Kansas City last year when Rodgers had COVID, and it was not great. I mean, clearly players can improve, but with Green Bay, they're not mathematically eliminated, but they might as well be. So, I mean, you have to at least see what you got in the guy. Like, you drafted him, you know, what, 2 years ago, like 3 years ago. I mean, at this point, it's just like, if you're not going to do it, what are you even doing? Like, and now then they have to go, you know, if they don't give them that fifth year option, you got to find a quarterback. So restart the cycle. You wasted a first round pick in Rodgers competitive window there, I would say. So I'm just
what do they play like, next week, Kev?
Oh God.
Because my thought is if they fall behind in that game, Rodgers, let's say Rodgers comes back, he's good to play. They fall behind in that game. He might, you know, feel bad again and pull him out, let Love come in, and then hey, he needs thumb surgery or something and he's out for the rest of the year. Because
yeah, Chicago, by the way.
Maybe they won't fold.
And then they have a bye week.
See, just play Jordan Love against Chicago. Play your inexperienced learning, like, let's see what you got against the worst defense in the league. I think that's a great idea.
Yep. And rest Rodgers through the bye week. That would be smart.
You'd think, but this is the Green Bay Packers, who Matt LaFleur also said that if we thought there was going to be a change that we needed to make with our defensive play, we would have done it. So that's given up, what, 370 yards on the ground to the Eagles? So
yeah.
Eesh. It's not great in Packerland, I will say that. But
no, it's not. Run. It's not, but at least they kind of made it competitive in the end there. Loop, last one I want to ask you about what's going to happen. T. Higgins has been on fire. I mean, the guy's had double-digit fantasy points every single week since week one, and he's been lighting it up as a wide receiver one while Ja'Marr Chase has been on the shelf. Chase should be back next week. What's going to happen there? Do you think Chase is fully healthy, that he just comes back and resumes his dominant force role? Do you think T. Higgins' role decreases, or do you think T. Higgins stays in that type of 1A role? What do you think is going to happen there, Luke?
I think that they're both very startable. I mean, you may look at T. Higgins more as a wide receiver 2 instead of a wide receiver 1, but I think when you look at their targets, they're going to be fairly even. I think you're not going to really see very many games where one of them has 12 targets and the other has four or something. I mean, it's going to be fairly even, I think. Both of them are big weapons in that passing game. We'll see if when they get Joe Mixon back, how the whole offense comes together when they're all healthy. I think they're ready to make another run here in the playoffs. So, I think Chase, will come right back in and you know, even if he's not 100% healthy or they say he may be on a snap count or something, you still got to start him coming back. So both guys are lock into your lineup type guys.
Yeah. T Higgins is a wide receiver one. How much more of a wide receiver one do you have to be than of being a wide receiver one? He's got the ninth most yards of any wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, Cooper, because you know we looked at him as the wide receiver too. Like we looked at him in the wide receiver two range.
I don't know who.
No. He was being drafted in a wide receiver two range because drafted as a wide receiver one. He was a top end wide receiver two, but now he's ascended into that one range. And that's what I'm asking. Like, do you think that Chase coming back brings him back down, or has he earned his place up there to stay there? I think he's been in that place.
Chase comes back, just slaughters Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst again. As always, as is tradition.
Right. It's Higgins and Chase with 50% of the target share almost every single week, and then it leaves crumbs for everybody else. You're going to get that random Tyler Boyd game, or you're going to get that random Hayden Hurst game, but it's Higgins and Chase, and both complement each other as far as you can't just account for one because the other is going to slaughter you.
Yeah. Do you think they want to throw 19 targets to Hayden Hurst for 40 yards? Of course not, dude. Those targets are going to go to the better players.
Good. I hope that they do ease Chase back next week because I'm playing him in a big matchup. So let's stay with Higgins at the top, and then, you know, we could ease Chase back into things. There are some potential league winners just like these guys. And we see guys, and I'm not talking about your top tier guys. I'm not talking about the Jonathan Taylors or the Stephon Diggs that Justin Jeffersons of the world. Like, I'm talking about, I want each of you to say, all right, if you're rolling into your playoffs, because the fantasy football playoff picture is taking shape right now. People are getting in right now. People are clinching their playoff spots. People are jockeying for position. Who would you consider a league winner? Like, who are some players that, you know, if they're in your lineup, if they're on your roster, you feel confident going on a championship run because of either the situation they're in now or the way they're playing right now? So, Coop, give me one guy that you'd feel like really comfortable having in your lineup right now and would consider them a league winner.
Well, I'm going to give you two because I'm kind of going to go for a top tier-ish area, but no one's going to give you Travis Kelce right now, right? Like, that's never going to happen. But I've been sent a DM to a ton of trades, Reddit, people send me a bunch of trades involving Mark Andrews and also TJ Hockenson available. Like, Mark Andrews is a guy who, yes, he hasn't been amazing, but he was a drop touchdown pass this week away from being the like tight end one on the week. And this guy has the best underlying stats I've ever seen for a tight end in terms of ratios, right? So like we look at like pass blocking and stuff like that. This dude has not pass blocked one single time. He doesn't have a pass blocking grade because they've never asked him to stay in and pass block. He leads the league in route participation. He's either first or second in virtually every snap, target share, target share, everything besides Kelce, right? So if you can go out and get a discount on a guy that from week to week can compete with Travis Kelce, and everyone, like, people are dogging me. They're like, oh, they shouldn't be in the same tier and blah, blah, blah. Dude, like, who cares? They're ranked 1 and 2. Everyone can shut up and also eat it because I think these guys in any given week, based on the matchups, either one of them can be the top tight end because they're both running every route, lining up a wide receiver a ton. So if you can go out and get Mark Andrews at a discount, that's a guy that I am focusing on acquiring if possible. And there are people that don't believe that he is in the same tier as Travis Kelce. If you can find somebody like that and try and trade them somebody from a tier below, like a Freiermuth or an Njoku, these guys are not being utilized the way Mark Andrews is. He is the focal point of this offense, and he's going to have weak winning games, which a lot of other guys are not going to have.
what I like, Coop, is that like you took this to a trade related focus, because it could be, because people can still trade. Like I'm thinking right now, like most of my leagues are past the trade deadline. So like when we talked about doing this, I'm thinking of, all right, you know, if I'm watching this show and you say my guy, yes, I feel good now. You know, I got that guy on my team. I'm going on my playoff run. So this could be to boost people's, you know, egos or boost their confidence in their team and their ability. But you're right, Coop, there could be some trades that can still happen. Dynasty League trades are still open, and some leagues do have a later trade deadline. So I like that you took it to that too. I like that one. Loop, what about you?
So as far as a league winner, I don't think Miles Sanders is getting enough love. You saw what he did last night, but just overall, he's for someone who said, don't draft me, I'm not going to score any fantasy points. He scored a lot of fantasy points. So, you know, if that's a guy, you know, we're talking about trades, then I think that's definitely someone that you can target, because I still don't think he's getting the love that some of the other running backs are getting, just because of the name value. Last year, he didn't score a single touchdown. So I think people have still, for some reason, it's kind of like the Geno Smith thing earlier in the year. Everyone thought he was going to come back down to earth. And I think people still feel that way about Miles Sanders. Like, he's eventually going to let you down. But you know, I think he's a guy that I would try to go out and get if I could.
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one at all. I love that one. What he did yesterday. I mean, look, you're absolutely right in the point that people don't find him sexy, so they still don't value him the way that he's actually performing. I mean, Linda, I'm sure you'd love to have him on the Broncos right now, wouldn't you?
That felt really unnecessary. Like, I'm not sure.
Hey, I'm just thinking of a team that has no running back, right? Like, you would love a Miles Sanders on your team, but sexy or not.
We don't even have an offensive identity. Let's pump on getting a good running back, okay?
You have a good running back. He's just hurt, right?
He's going to enter the transfer portal. Is that a different sport? I'm tired.
No, he could do it. You know, just make it a college mentality. I mean, they play like a college offense, so you might as well, right? Well, since they're not winning anything,
Linda had a family, JB.
What player is a league winner for you then, Linda? Let's bring it to a positive note, because it won't be a Bronco.
Man, you said league winner, and I was thinking about like really deep. I know you put like ideas in there, some like Thomas. Josh Jacobs obviously is a monster. I kind of put Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders on this like same pedestal of like, they're always good. We don't always give them the credit that they deserve. And there's just this kind of like I've never fully formed an opinion about either of them. So for some reason, kind of in the same area for me. And he's just been lights out, including last week, or, you know, yesterday. But another guy is, and I'm sorry if I'm taking this from Kevin, is Christian Watson, who is has what, the second most fantasy points next to Devontae Adams in the last like 3 weeks. Like, I saw that on Twitter. I didn't do any fact checking, so I'm just reiterating what I read. But he's just been, I was really worried this week. I started him in a lineup that it didn't matter anyway, but I was like, I'm going to ruin Christian Watson for everyone. And that sucks. I don't want to be that girl.
And you ended up
scoring a touchdown anyway. So I just think he's going to continue to find the end zone, was able to show that he could do it with Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers. And I think if Aaron Rodgers starts next week and if Jordan Love starts next week and Christian Watson doesn't take a step back, then that you were able to grab off waivers, you may, I think probably that time has ended, but over the last 3 weeks, you were able to grab him, and it's going to benefit you to close out the season.
Dude, if you can score against James Bradbury and Darius Slay, you can score against anybody. So I'm fully on board with that, man. This was the test, right?
He's fast as shit. He's just so fast.
And he's 6'5".
Yeah,
Look, I'm not saying he's Randy Moss, but
you guys better watch out. Like, somebody better warn Aaron, because I think Kev's like falling in love with Christian Watson now. Is she worried, Kev?
She ain't worried, but Linda did. You know, we mind meld. I mean, all I was going to do is going to go. Yeah, like, Chris, yeah. Look, Watson is the wide receiver one in Green Bay, not dusty ass Alan Lazard. I'm sorry. Like, Alan Lazard might have propped up some targets, you know, but the last 3 weeks, he hasn't been anything more than wide receiver 36. Now that the new hotness, the sexy beast, if you will, we're talking about the gross, you know, muted Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders and all the Latavius Murray, the veiled shot from JB that they don't have a running back. They kind of do, by the way, Syracuse guy. But look, Christian Watson is literally the definition of a league winner, a guy that was available to whoever wanted him in most leagues. You know, if you're playing with your buddies in a, you know, a beer league, likely he was out there before he went on this gigantically massive run, and now you're reaping the benefits. And yeah, he caught a touchdown from Jordan Love as well. He gets a very favorable schedule after his bye too. So no matter if it's going to be Rodgers or it's going to be Jordan Love, I think you can just start him with confidence now. I am a little bit worried about he is a bit boomer bust. I want to see him earn more targets, but from what he does with his limited, he is what we wanted Gabe Davis to be.
Yeah.
We.
Yeah. We.
That Uncle word Phil, keeps we, coming up. We.
Yeah, I don't like that. So I'm old, quickly. I'm old enough to remember Romeo Doubs was the Packers rookie wide receiver to own, and he was
Lou Peace 23. His life is over. Christian Watson is the wave of the future.
He always was. That's the thing. People wrote him off because he was hurt in training camp, and he was. I mean,
you're absolutely right, Lou.
We're so fickle.
Well, we also wrote off Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that's the guy who I think is a league winner right now, because whether we liked him coming into the season or not, we've already had our come to Jesus moment where we realize, look, he's playing well. He's a solid footballer. You know, he's a guy who I want on my team. And I did trade for him in a couple of leagues because I had no shares of him. I did not draft him at all. So I did trade for him on a couple of teams. And I'm happy I did, because, I mean, look at his last five games. Targets, 10, 8, 11, 9, 10. I mean, the guy just gets targeted. They throw him the ball. He's the only, like, real wide receiver. Yeah, you know, J-Mo's coming back and Chark is back now. But he's still the guy. He's the focal point of that passing offense. So he's going to continue to get targeted. He has a schedule coming up of Jacksonville, then Minnesota, then a tough game against the Jets, and then Carolina. I mean, that's your fantasy playoff run. So if you have this target monster, I mean, honestly, I saw somebody compare it on Twitter, but like based off the usage, he's the closest thing you're going to get this year to Cooper Kupp, since Cooper Kupp is not there. He's a target monster coming out in that type of role with a favorable schedule. That's a guy who, if he's in my lineup right now, I feel pretty confident in him being a league winner.
Yeah, if he's available on waivers, I would say get him like as soon as he can.
Yeah. No, but full, his brother might be.
What percent of fab would you guess, Kev, would get him?
4,000?
In a league where he's available on waivers, he probably only drop like $30 because the waivers are probably filled with amazing players.
Truth.
Right?
Truth.
Watch Corey checking there for in. Weeks.
Corey checking in saying Miles Sanders and George Pickens, let's go. That's because I'm playing Corey in that big matchup, and he had Miles Sanders go off against me yesterday. So no Corey, no George Pickens. We do not want George Pickens. What we do want is the Kevin Tompkins injury report.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Kevin Tompkins injury report. Not a real doctor, by the way. Don't get it twisted. We talked about some of these injuries already. Aaron Rodgers suffered an oblique injury with his broken thumb. Some question or not whether it was a rib injury. During the game, was wincing pretty noticeably during some throws and moving around. So, I mean, he hasn't really been that startable in fantasy this season. So an oblique injury doesn't really help matters with his startability in fantasy. Darnell Mooney suffered an ankle injury, and it is determined that he would need surgery, so he is out for the season. Pour one out for the Moondog, Darnell Mooney. Elijah Mitchell suffered an MCL sprain similar to what he had this season already. So likely to miss 6 to 8 weeks per Kyle Shanahan. So I think you can pretty much drop him in seasonal redraft. You probably won't be seeing him, if at all, for the rest of the season. Staying with the 49ers backfield, Christian McCaffrey suffered, quote, knee irritation. Also determined to be patellar tendonitis per Matthew Betts, an actual physical therapist. Unlike me, I'm not a real doctor. States it is a load management issue. Moving forward, it will likely miss some practice time and continue to split some work, whether it's with Jordan Mason, remains to be seen, but not great for somebody who has already kind of scaled back his workload.
If only they had a guy like Jeff Wilson, huh?
Never heard of him. And then our last back here, Travis Etienne, one that hits home for me a little bit. Etienne left after just 5 snaps with a foot injury. Watched from the sidelines as Jamichael Hasty and Snoop Connor took over that backfield. Head coach Doug Peterson did say that Etienne was cleared to return to the game yesterday, but with his injury, Peterson decided to hold him out and not risk him. Team had planned on doing more tests. ETN said it was fine. The team thought the same. So they're not going to run those tests and just going to take that a bit gingerly in practice. This is also the same foot that he had surgically repaired last season with a Lisfranc sprain that caused him to miss the entirety of 2021. From ETN directly, and I quote, "We'll be straight for next week."
Yes, he will. And unfortunately, we needed him this week. A lot of us did in our playoff pushes. I know I needed him in pros with Joe's. So hopefully we score enough points that I think that goes to next week anyway. So if he's straight for next week, then we'll be straight too. I like that one. Waiver pickups. I know you mentioned that he'll be okay. So we were looking at maybe some other options in that backfield that we might not look at now. I don't think it's a big waiver week. I mean, there's not any huge targets out there. So here's what we'll do, guys. We got Steelers and Colts coming up. So not the most exciting Monday night football game, but I know there's a lot of fantasy football implications with this game. A lot of people needing wins, coming down to some key players this game. So let's talk about a big waiver target if you have one. And then what are you looking forward to in tonight's game? Linda, start with you.
How to start with me?
Let me go first. No, let me go first. I want to go first.
Go, Coop.
I'm interrupting to bring this important bulletin of bet on Mo Alie-Cox over 2.5 receptions. Kylan Granson inactive. Jelani Woods, not even good, not even cool. Went to Linda's favorite school.
What in the fuck? You interrupted me for this?
So, Coop, does that mean Nikola Kalinic as Mark
Sneak? Sneak in a little money on Mo Alie-Cox. If you can maybe do over on, it's like 1.5 catch or 2.5 catches is the line. Or if you just want to bet an anytime touchdown, he's a former basketball player, pulls down the rebounds. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I should not have besmirched Jelani Woods, our sweet Jelani. We still like him long term. But for the time being, and I don't like Mo Alie-Cox generally, but this is a week where you could sneak in some prop bets and you could do so right before kickoff coming up soon.
Linda, you just got Cox blocked.
I didn't like that at all. I'm looking forward to Coop going to bed so I don't have to put up with his ass for the rest.
Come on. You're lucky I got an early show tomorrow.
All right, Linda, take the mic back from him.
We were talking about Travis Etienne. Kev brought up Jamichael Hasty. Hasty had like 5 receptions, went for like 60 yards, clearly stepped up in the role that Etienne has had all season. And I know everybody's like, he's fine, it's great. But we've already seen once this season a Lisfranc injury, that same foot be tweaked, and it caused some serious missed time. So it's an injury I'm willing to kind of dabble with in terms of his backup. So I'm in on Jamichael Hasty. And honestly, tonight I'm going to log off and watch the last episode of Wednesday on Netflix before I even turn on football. So,
as is your right.
It's really good.
Anytime the over-under is under 42, I think you can watch whatever you want on the big TV.
That's a good point.
That is as long as you keep an eye on the box score. I think anytime the over under is under 42, you can big TV it. You know, you'll be keeping an eye on the Twitter sphere. You'll know if anyone's wearing a big hat, Linda, right?
Right. Abs. I always do.
Big hat brigade.
Oh man, then we'll roll over to the guy with the hat on. Go ahead, medical doc, not a medical doctor, Kevin Tompkins.
That's right, not a medical doctor. Don't want to get anybody confused. Yeah, so against Minnesota this week, I'm going to go with the Great White Hope, Mike White, if you need a quarterback. Ride the wave. Our generation's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Hopefully we'll get another start here at Minnesota. So I do like that matchup if you need a quarterback and you're sick of the Aaron Rodgers experience with ayahuasca or Russell Wilson's general weirdness like Carlton Banks. Go with Mike White.
Okay. Anything you're looking forward to tonight?
At least it's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that had to be rough to watch last night for you, Kev. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. Loop, what about you?
My waiver pickup is Zonovan Knight.
Bam!
That is.
Who said Donovan?
Nope. It's sort of like Donovan to Zonovan is sort of like the daddy and zaddy. So Zonovan is, you know what I mean? That is, you know
very when you close throw on the keyboard. So
I you know when you throw the Z in there that it's legit. But no, old Jim Robinson, Rim Jobinson was a he was a healthy scratch yesterday. James Robinson. So he took the early down work there. Michael Carter, of course, was banged up as well. So looks like our Zaddy Zonovan Knight is going to get some run here. So stick with that. Just keep rotating through that Jets backfield, and you know somebody's gonna be good one day. I swear. So yeah.
Hey, Ty Johnson was winning people weeks last year.
I started Ty Johnson in King's Classic, by the way. 14.2 points, I believe.
It's because you're a king, Kev.
That's right. And I had Travis Etienne and weathered Josh Jacobs against Fantasy Mojo and still and Christian Watson and still won.
Nice. Nice. I'm hoping to weather my Miles Sanders beating here from Corey. I mean, I have Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris, and I need them to outscore George Pickens by 14.2 to beat Corey in this big matchup. I mean, this is big playoff implications. Winner of this should make the playoffs. Corey wins, he's definitely in. I mean, he's already sitting pretty, but I can jump leapfrog him with this win. I need this. And of course, I'm looking forward to Parks Frazier in primetime. I mean, that's my guy, and he gets a primetime game. So let's see what Parks Frazier can do. Stop. Love Parks Frazier, damn it. Love
Parks. Stop it. Get some help.
No. This is a Parks Frazier family.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Fuck you. Coop, what do you got?
I already interrupted Linda to do mine.
He fucking interrupted me. It was a huge
whoa. Easy with a swearing loop. I've got to do the loop zoom on that. Dude, you're gonna swear on this family loop. Can you shut her down on that, dude? Or she's out of control. She's out of control. You interrupt her one time. you interrupt her one time. You besmirch her favorite college school, and then all of a sudden she gets upset. Come on, dude. Come on.
Who's ever said anything bad about her college school? We're all Oklahoma State people. Who
did? I dogged Jelani Woods a bit there.
Yeah, that's a little messy.
Wrap it up.
Can't do that. All right. We're going to wrap this up. We're not going to do final thoughts. Our final thoughts are let's go. FirstOverall101.com for an awesome shirt. Let's go, my guys. We need a big Najee Harris game. Thank you for everybody who came out to watch us. Thank you to Razzball for hosting us on the YouTube page. Definitely check out that Razzball YouTube channel. Check out the Fantasy Besties Twitter page, at Fantasy Besties. Check out Razzball.com. Definitely check out everybody here with their Twitter handles under their name. We're the Fantasy Besties. We appreciate you coming out. For Kevin, Linda, Coop, and Loop, I'm JB Barry. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.